Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time for the only wrestling podcast on earth. There are no others. It's the only one on earth. The rest, fake, not real. Bunch of has-been hacks or no-name nobodies talking wrestling. We are the only legit wrestling podcast on the internet. That's Lars Fredrickson. That's Ace Steele. I'm the best-looking wrestling podcast host on the whole internet. I'm Dennis Farrell. Close enough, or close second. What's going on, guys? It's time for our monthly email segment. We're breaking everything up into each week. This week, we're doing emails, and every week, every month on this week. So we have a shitload of emails, and I don't even mean to cuss, but guys, we have a ton of stuff to get to. I'm so excited. How was your week before we jump in, guys?
I mean, I had a really good week. A lot. I just kind of around. What about you, Ace?
I was in Vegas for the TNA Hard to Kill pay-per-view, the relaunch. It was badass. The action was insanity. It was good stuff. Good stuff top to bottom both nights. Highest grossing show in 10 years for TNA at the Palms Casino. So it was great. Yeah, it was great stuff. It was a really positive weekend. Happy to be home. Always happy to be home. Love home. And then we followed up with Orlando this weekend. And other than that, yeah, man, happy to be home. Got dogs roaming around. You see a giant head. That's Rupert the Great popping in. But yeah, let's get to it. Love to hear all the emails.
Well, we'll start out with one about me and TNA, by the way. This comes from Percy. Hey, Dennis, you fucking dweeb. You're the only one that hated the TNA rebranding, and it's been nothing but a home run since. How do you like that one? Choke on a big fat one, you dumbass.
Sounds like it's personally addressed.
Sometimes these things happen. And I never said it wasn't going to be good. My only complaint back when they announced this was a company that went from TNA to Global Force, the impact is color, and it never felt stability. And then all of a sudden it goes back to TNA. I just felt like it was just turbulent waters at the time. Like, I don't know if it felt like a gimmick to me, but it just didn't feel like it was the right time. It's been nothing but a home run. I knew it would be great, but I just thought, guys, a company that's been through this many name changes, it just didn't fit well with me at that moment.
Well, the only place where I would sort of disagree with you, well, there's a lot of places I would disagree with you, but I feel like no matter what that company's been called, you still think about it as TNA. And I think that's the reason why it's been a home run. You know, even though it was Vince Russo and his little play on words or whatever, you know, I don't think people – generally, wrestling fans today don't know who Vince Russo is, don't know what his contribution to the wrestling business is, good or bad, right? So I honestly don't think that, you know – seeing it the way that it was originally intended. Is your dog playing with firecrackers?
Yeah, that was his ears. He's so big, his ears sound like firecrackers.
He's chewing on the one and only Ace Still action figure.
There are none. It's already been chewed up by another dog from long ago. I get the idea of rebranding, of going to, like, let's try Impact. They were that for I don't even know how long. Or the Global Force was another, like, swerve of bits, and I don't understand that. It's always been TNA to me. It's always been TNA, good, bad, or indifferent. And I certainly go with the idea of the matches and iconic things that made it with, like, the Cruiserweight division, the X division. It was just an extension, and then, you know, broadening the future of the X division had no weight limits, you know? So when I see a guy like Jake something in the X division, I'm like, what? But he's the base for these guys to fly off and do stuff, much like Malenko was a base for, like, Mysterio. So you see the incredible stuff you've never seen before. So I'm excited for it. It was great. It was great to see it and how it came off with, you know, people with the rally towels. The brand should stay this way, I think. You know, just keep it here. They tried. They went with Impact. It is what it is. You know, and here we are.
All right. Doug wants to know, before the Outcasts, Ruby started to come out to a different theme song. Lars, huge question here. You guys have never talked about it, but was Ruby still allowed to use the Ruby Soho music? How come it wasn't in the video game? Did she have to sign a deal even to use the Ruby Soho name?
Whoa. Okay. So that's like three parts. So what was the first part?
She started coming out to a different theme song before the Outcast.
Obviously, I don't necessarily know if coming out to a Rancid sort of hit song. And I mean, I'm not saying that's like toot, but I will. But I don't necessarily know if that's very heel. I don't necessarily know if the song is heelish. I feel like it's babyface Ruby Soho. So I'm sure if she goes back to it, I mean, she's got the rights to use that song for as long as she's in that company, you know, and I think it was 3 years or however long that she was going to be there. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I feel that was like so long ago. She can use it and not use it. As far as the video game going, that's a whole separate thing. So when we did the music rights for AEW, I don't necessarily remember if there was a video game even being planned. So that would have to be a totally different thing. Does that make sense? Because when you sign over your music for somebody to use, it's like, it has to be like, well, we're going to use it in the video game too, or we're going to use it like this, or we're going to use it like this, we're going to use it like this. Since we own the song and the master, it's got to be clear to us what they were using it for. So I'm assuming there was no video game clause in the contract, because I think it was before that. So that's probably why it's not there. And what was the last part of it?
Did she have to sign a deal to use the name Ruby Soho?
No. I mean, it's like, no. The band, the only thing that we were, when she wanted to use the song, that moves it into a whole different thing, because you can't. When you talk about streaming and public broadcasting of a song, it's illegal for AEW to do that. I think without written permission. I think that's the way it works. I don't know, man. It's like I'm kind of clueless. But she never signed a deal with us to use the song. But we own, you know, the rights to Ruby Soho. Does that make sense? Because it's our song. But we don't own her. That's her trip.
Let me ask you this, as a fan who was there during the Ruby Soho episode, who, you know, I think you and I, Ace, you weren't there, but Phil's part of this legacy that she's building. Could you ever imagine yourself maybe recording or doing like a heel version of Ruby Soho that might be ominous or sound cool for her?
No, because I'm sure. I don't know, man. It's like going back and re-recording something. You can't. That was a moment in time that will last for. Obviously, that was 1995 when we recorded that song, and it's just getting used now for a professional wrestling entrance. It's like, that's a moment in time that's captured. So to go back and try to change it or whatever, I don't know really what you could do to it. I mean, because it's so ingrained into people's heads. It's like, I don't necessarily know if it's that, if that would be something I would even entertain, to be honest.
What do you think, Ace?
Sparking that, talking about going into video games, I do recall one of the WCW video games that had Hogan coming out to the Jimi Hendrix version of, Voodoo Child. And I recall it. And I remember just having the game and thinking that was pretty cool that it came out to it, but never even thinking about all the copyright issues or signing this. And who knows back in, even right then. But then again, that was still in a time in the world where I'm sure everybody got their cut. But, you know, what it cost to get that song, because you certainly wouldn't see a Hogan pop out on a new video game with Voodoo Child at all. It's all real American stuff. That brings up, it actually sparked an interesting question for you, Lars, is that you see a lot of, and I hate to use this with the Chiefs at the helm with Taylor Swift, but it was brought up to her to re-record her music because she did not own it. So that way, when it's played, she would get royalties off of it. Have you always owned your music?
No, that came later on. Okay. It came with other record deals. And Brett Gurewitz, you know, I felt like really wanted to take care of us. So it's, and that was just kind of, you know, some inside baseball that I can't really get too lost in, but
sure.
As far as Taylor Swift and that plant to try to get more young people to watch NFL football, makes perfect sense to me. You know, it's like if you see all the calls going the Chiefs' way and all these things, I mean, the NFL is probably – no, but I mean, no, think about this. The NFL is probably one of – I mean, it's a giant corporation. It's corrupt as fuck. So they're going to – you know, they protected Tom Brady, you know, even though he was a fucking cheater, right? And so now they got Taylor Swift, they got this whole other audience. It's like, it's to their best interest to shine a light on that, because that's going to draw the casual fan and maybe hook somebody to it. So it makes perfect sense. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl winning it, and it, primarily because it's advertising money. It's like, they know now that Taylor Swift's going to be at a Chiefs game. There's a great chance Taylor Swift's going to be on the screen at some point during that game. Advertisers know this. Advertisers are now going to bid higher to get their commercial on that particular game. So you cannot tell me that this is not a PR stunt. I am married to a PR genius. That was her field. She doesn't even work in that field anymore because she did so well. Do you understand? So it's like, this whole thing, it's like, I've never seen Travis Kelce in more commercials now. I wonder why. If I'm a corporation, I'm gonna want that. I want Taylor Swift's boyfriend in my commercial, because that's always where the line's gonna be, you know, connected. There's always gonna be a connection now, you know what I mean? So it makes perfect business sense in that regard. And I know this is not a football show, but this is the biggest fucking plant in sports history. It is, and now people are seeing through it and are annoyed by it. It's like, that to me tells me there's an element of it not being real.
Can you flash the word work when he starts talking about this, like later in the repost? It's all the work. I seriously thought when I watched whatever, you know, and I'll admit I'm a fair weather fan, I'm wearing a Cubs jacket, but when the Cubbies were going with the World Series in Cleveland, like a game or two before was nothing special, and come right out of the gate, cracking homers. And I'm like, what the hell? You know, it all, things just, I don't know. I'm in a work business, so I'll always buy the work.
From Adam Da Bomb, MJF, whether he's really a free agent or not right now, today, where do you think the best landing spot, in your opinion, for the next phase of his career is? Now, I'll start out, and I, like it or hate it, I think it's back in AEW right now. I think the work he's done throughout his AEW career has been phenomenal. The stuff he did the last 6 to 8 months where he was this happy-go-lucky comedy act, I think ruined everything he's built up, being an asshole to fans, You know, this really trying to put the work into being a heel on the field and off the field just has gone away for me. When he's now, you know, doing a comedy act with Adam Cole, going to WWE right now might make him a lot of money, but I think he really needs to rebrand himself and come back as an asshole. For me, in my opinion, I just think he took two steps backwards with whatever acts he's doing.
We are our own worst enemy, and I think he fell into that. He did too much comedy, working matches. Like, he would put on half main event level. And I mean, he put on main event level matches, but what I'm saying is he would go the ways of a house show match with a little more gaga, with a little more, you know, walk and talk, not even walk and, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong with working the crowd, but even if the ratings are up, you're killing the legitimacy of what he helped build. Like, through a program with Punk, Punk wasn't going to let that be anything but legitimate. And like, and you know, an angry vendetta between the two, there was going to be no, oh, I found him at the candy store. Oh boy, here we go. Like that type of thing. Or let's go to the gym together. The buddy cop movie. You know, Stone Cold didn't go that way with Angle until they were both hurt and they were just looking for something else. But it's always been said that Vince himself doesn't like a comedy act. He's got to see you as a serious wrestler. Then some of the comedy trickles in. I need to see more serious wrestlers. So I agree with you. I think he needs to stay there, legitimize himself as a serious wrestler, and then move on.
Yeah, I feel two different ways about it. I feel like if he stays there, he's going to get injured beyond belief, because obviously it's like the inmates run the asylum there. And I don't think that wrestlers sometimes, I feel like, you know, wrestlers have really good ideas. Obviously, you know, we see, you know, who can think for themselves and who can't. But I definitely believe that, like, him in a more structured environment, we could see him to his full potential, because I feel like he's young and he's so gifted and talented and he's light years ahead of anybody in the business. And he's always, you know, been one of my favorites, but I just don't necessarily know if I see his career shortening by staying in AEW, just because I feel like there's a lot of unnecessary stuff that gets, you know, in the physical realm that gets taken. And I feel like, I mean, he's injured now, for Christ's sake. So it's like, you know, I think he needs more structure, but I feel like no matter where he goes, if he has good people around him, it's just like a band or anything else. Being a wrestler, you're an individual guy, and if you're willing and, you know, if you're open-minded to listening to others with more experience, you will get to the next step. If you don't, you will always stay where you're at and you will go stagnant at some point.
Yeah. Boy, you make a good point there. But do you think, and this is for the table here, I think – if he went too early to WWE, let's say, you know, in the middle of the best work as a heel that we've seen, I mean, we've all praised him at one point on what he did with that heel role, revolutionizing it from what we've seen in the last 20 years. If he went to WWE, they would have just ruined that themselves. I mean, the WWE we know when Vince was there, he would not have been allowed to be that MJF. Now, the MJF he is now, sure, he can go to WWE, still be that guy. I don't know if it helps him or hurts him, but does that make sense?
Sure, 100%. And obviously, I agree with Lars. We've talked about this many a time, that you're not going to get better unless you work with better people or better people that can school you and help you along and learn. Otherwise, you've already hit your plateau. You're just going to do some decent versions of what you're doing, but you're never going to grow. He does need NXT to grow. He does need WWE to grow. He needs the veterans to grow. It depends if he goes that far and has those programs. If he's waiting to come back and have a program with Adam Cole, I think they're the same level. So, yeah. I don't see growth. I see an end to that, and let's move on. But obviously, I agree with Lars, because that would be defying everything I've ever said. You don't get better unless you work with better people.
Yeah, and the thing with that he was getting into with Samoa Joe was going to be a Mac, you know, it was beautiful. But the way that they laid it out was completely, it didn't make me care.
No.
Like, we knew the match was going to be good. We knew that him in there with Joe, who's a consummate freaking professional, right, who can have a great match with the broomstick. I mean, that's how good Samoa Joe is. Like, I was looking forward to that. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And this is exactly where MJF needs to be. But, you know, obviously that got a little sidetracked.
One last thing before we move on to the next question. MJF, if he goes to WWE, do you put him in NXT? Do you throw him in the main roster?
He's in NXT.
NXT.
He's in NXT.
I think so too. Going to the main roster right away has no benefit to him.
No, not at all. And I think that the WWE audience probably doesn't even have an idea who he is. It's like two different worlds, man. In a lot of ways, I think you're like a big caliber star, like a CM Punk, like a Rock, like an Uso, like a, you know, Cody Rhodes. I don't think they know you that well. I don't think they know the drama. I don't necessarily know if they know you like the AEW audience likes to know their brand.
Did you hear the people? If you watched, and I watched, of course, because it's our guy. But I watched both his match, Punk's match at MSG, and at the Forum in LA, and MSG crowd at the end was chanting, "You still got it." What do you mean you still got it? He fucking wrestled for the last few years. So that tells you right there, there's a part of their audience that's not as tuned in as we all think this internet versus, and I'm not damning all the internet universe here. It's just, it's still, again, a niche market. It's a niche audience. Not everybody hops online to delve and go down the rabbit hole. It doesn't happen. And those people that chanted that just simply proves what we just all said. You go to NXT, who's this new guy? Who's Maxwell Freedom or Friedman Freedom? There's a new gimmick for him.
Regardless, he's going to be successful no matter where he goes.
Oh, yeah.
You just brought up something, Ace. He goes to NXT, comes out with a whole new name. I don't know if I could get behind that. Would be so hard.
But you don't know that. You're still working off of the old Vince McMahon days. We're looking at WWE now as a pro wrestling company again. Yeah. And they're showing us that. And if you watch the product, see that it's not that hard. You can make the distinction, and it's a true and very, very, very clear distinction of what Vince McMahon was doing and what Triple H is doing. And I got to tell you, it's pro wrestling again.
I think you're right. But the Lexi King thing, which we have some emails about him, still kind of weirds me out because it's, you know, I don't know if it's Brian Pillman's kid, not Lexi King. And I get the story. I don't want to be known for my dad. We'll talk about this in the emails. I didn't mean to bring it up now. But Paul Myers, I know how much you guys love TNA, but with Rick Boogs, Riddick Moss, Shelton Benjamin, and Elias, all free agents right now, which one of those guys would you pick to sign them to that roster? Please pick one.
Sheldon.
Boy.
100% agree on that. Sheldon would be great there. Boogs, I think, just stated he stopped wrestling. So.
Oh, did he?
I thought so. Maybe I read it incorrectly. It was a headline, so maybe it was just click and get more. But
well, as far as entertainment value, I thought he had it. I just think that, you know, where they were pushing him and what he was doing was just a little, I mean, I don't know, irrelevant.
I may have to go with Elias here. You know, at times when they were right with Elias, he was good. He's good in ring. He has the look. With a little bit of rebranding, which you're going to have to do anyways, and with the way that roster set up, I really think that guy could come in there and be main event status right away.
I like Elias, not just as a person, but I liked him as a talent. I liked there was something there. It was getting over with the people. And work-wise, I thought he did well in all the matches that I'd seen him work. You know, he was a credible talent. I think he'd be another one. He'd be your, I think Shelton, just because Shelton's been working so long that he could be, if he's got his promo behind him, which by now I would hope he does. He's got his promo behind him. He could walk in and be a main event guy. And then, you know, build, you know, if he's into that at this point, I don't know at his age, I think he and I are about the same age and, you know, close to 50. I'm 50, I'll be 51, but he's in that ballpark. He's just been another anomaly where, like, you know, we know what a mechanic he is. We've got him around, you know. Maybe he's not into reinventing himself again. You know, it's not the days of going to Japan or doing the Ring of Honor. Maybe he's not into that, you know, but I think it'd be a great spot for him.
Joey Stratham says, now that Shelly's lost a TNA heavyweight title, I turn him heel. I would turn Shelly heel and have him turn on Chris Sabin. What do you guys think? I don't like it. You know, talking to Sabin many times, I can tell you right off the bat, Sabin and Shelly have no interest in turning on each other. They're tag team guys. They've always been tag team guys. And there's something to be said in wrestling for a tag team that just doesn't turn on each other. We always expect it. Oh, it's going to come. When's it going to come? And they tease it and they tease it. And I think there's something pure about having the guys like Shelly and Sabin, who are originals, just never turn on each other. I like it.
Machine guns are as iconic to me as the Rock and Roll Express, as the Road Warriors, as the Midnight Express, of that era of tag team where wrestling started to change, and teams like the Hardys and the Machine Guns. I know, you know, there's a few years in between. I get it all. But if you look at them together as a team, I will definitely hold them in regard as I would a Rock and Roll Express, who never turned on each other. You know what I mean? Road Warriors never turned on each other. You know what I mean? In the ring anyway. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, sure, the Midnight Express never did that. You know, it's too iconic. It would be stupid. If it was the main event at Wembley, okay. If it's about drawing money, then cool. Why, if it's, I don't think that they would be put in that position. I think that they sort of laid the groundwork to what we see as tag team wrestling today, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You can really argue that they're not that team. I think a lot of other teams, like the Young Bucks, get credit for it. No, it was the Machine Guns. Sorry. All you got to do is go back and watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And you'll see where the Young Bucks got everything from.
Yep.
It was from them.
I agree. I wouldn't turn them on each other. And I am a firm believer of keeping a natural, organic babyface. And everyone seems to love these two. You don't really... out of the two, Shelly would be the heel. And I've worked with him when he was heel in Ring of Honor. He was a heel. But he didn't work as a heel so much because we were in our Ring of Honor phase of let's do spots and let's not break eyes and so much of, you know, like getting some classic heel stuff in. But no, when it comes to TNA, those guys are the quintessential baby faces for that promotion. And they are the Ricky Steamboats of TNA, so to speak.
Nikki from New Jersey says, I loved your guys' take on Jinder Mahal during your Raw review, and the following week he did not disappoint. What would you guys do next to elevate him into real main event status as far as fans go?
Well, I don't necessarily know if it would be in line with WWE and what they're trying to do, but I would definitely, all of the this and anti that and all of this like wokeness in the world, I would straight make him the Iron Sheik Nikolai Volkov at this point, like, but just do an updated version of it. I don't necessarily know if that would fly with WWE and TKO Productions or whatever, but that's exactly what I would do. I would get him to dig in more to the American psyche like those guys did. That's how because let's just be honest. We're the most divided that we've ever been in our country. There's no middle ground. It's like either I'm right and you must be wrong, right? Everybody's afraid of words.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
You know? You're afraid. People are afraid of words. Words hurt people's feelings. Okay. Whatever. That's where I would be like, say some stuff that's gonna hurt some people's feelings.
You know what though? And you said it right though. If you look back at the way the country was when heels were heels, Iron Sheik, it was kind of the same way, minus the words and the wokeness. The country was divided. There was right and wrong. It was America versus everybody. If you're, and you know, I hate to say it this way, but you know, if you were not with us, you were against us. And the heel turn for Sergeant Slaughter was phenomenal back then. Mm-hmm. And if you I still go back and watch it because I didn't appreciate it then. And now being older, I can go back and look at it with these eyes and go, that was genius. You took G.I. Joe and flipped him heel. And
yeah.
And the country could not have hated him more. It took him from we love this American hero, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, all these guys slightly below Hulk Hogan because he was the real American hero and vaulted them to the next level. And I really feel like you could do that with Jinder Mahal right now.
Agreed. I wanted to bring Sheiky Baby in right here just to show you. Hello, Mr. Dennis, you're fucking jabroni. Sorry for the swearing. I don't know any better, Bubba.
What do you think, Ace?
I 100% agree with the words. When you brought up Slaughter, I knew where you were going, and you know, they moved the venue for that Mania supposedly because of a bomb threat. I think the bomb threat would actually fucking happen nowadays because people are off the rocker. They would take a performance art and see too much realism in it. Somebody would take offense to, and I love the fact though that Jinder is very smart with his newer take of, if we want to say, an Iron Sheik or the anti-American. His anti-American, he was just talking about all our problems in America. It wasn't quite, it was like, you guys are fucked and you're telling me I'm the shits. You know, that's how I felt about it. And I was like, my gosh, here, turn the mirror, you know? And I think eventually somebody would just take issue with it, or that may be the smart way they want to go, so you get other people talking about it on their talk shows. It depends, but I ultimately think it would not do the business they wanted it to do. They tried to recreate some stuff with Muhammad Hassan, and we all know, if you don't know about him, you can ask Sean Devary or find a shoot interview with him. You know, they took a young wrestler and ran him to do the anti-American thing. And unfortunately, the angle they went kind of far with a terrorist act had happened around the same time. And that was the end of that guy's career. They couldn't repackage him for anything. So it's just too touchy of a subject nowadays to do. It just really is.
Jackson says, we made fun of AEW for being WCW 2000. We've made fun for TNA back in the day. We made fun for Impact becoming TNA from back in the day, as far as Global Force Wrestling the same. What do you guys do now to save this version of TNA to being compared to any other version of that company?
I think they're already doing it. I if you watch that show, reset the tone. I if I'm any other wrestling promotion right now, I'm taking notice. That's all I can say about it.
I agree. Same. And it's not just because I'm working there. They keep the action going the way they have it going. What gave them a bad name is because they were the offshoot. You know, even when I started there, you got different guys that came from WWF at the time that had different names. You had Brian Christopher. Well, he could be Brian Christopher, or he's Brian Lawler. You had just everybody that was just coming off of WWF TV, and it felt no different than any other promotion that I worked for around the horn that brought in Greg Valentine, that brought in Tito Santana back then when they had got let go from the big WWF, AWF, if you go back in time to the Alperstein days, and if folks out there don't know what I'm talking about, look up a little AWF wrestling and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's not that wrestling was bad, but it hadn't been updated. Like, it was, you know, there's quality. Tito Santana and Greg Valentine are fucking great. But if you, right after they're done, you know, you're moving into the Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect era. And if they just revert back to grabbing somebody straight off of WWF TV or WWE TV or anything that's too, you know, they got so much flack when they brought Hogan and Flair in, though the ratings were good back then. It's still an era that is buried and still talked about that way just because of, you know, how they did business. I think they keep it now. The action is on point. The wrestling is on point. It's against anything that you could see out there. I mean, it's top-notch stuff going on. And I might, you know, make a face about certain things, but go watch that tag team match that happened on Hard to Kill between the Rascals, the Grizzled Young Veterans, and I have not seen the Grizzled Young Veterans wrestle so hard and go at it so good as they did the other night. They're on point with their work. It was the Rascals. It was ABC. It was just good stuff.
I think there's a lot to do with the mindset too. When I watch TNA, I don't see these spot fests. The same with the NWA as well. I think those are two companies that has done a great job of taking old wrestling, new wrestling, mixing it together, making spots mean things, not from start to finish. It still happens at time to time. I get it. But I think from top to bottom, when you watch those pay-per-views, especially the last year and a half in Impact, as NWA, those are two companies that gets what wrestling fans want to watch. All right, Edward from North Bay. Be honest, Lars and Ace. Was there ever a chance Punk was going to TNA?
I think
I don't know. He didn't call me and ask me, so I can't tell you guys.
I mean, I think. Go ahead, Ace.
No, you got it. You're rolling. Right on you.
I think that if you're anybody, and I'll just relate this to myself, back in 1994 and 1995, a lot of people came courting. And we needed to see what was out there. We never said, we're going to do this, we're never going to do that. But we were, at that time, a very wanted band, you know, by a lot of different labels. Where we ended up going is history, you know, it's obviously. So I don't necessarily know. I can't speak for anybody, and I never will. But I will say that, like, I'm sure he, you know, was probably, you know, presented with situations. You know, I can't be that for sure, but, you know. I don't see why, you know, you're one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Why wouldn't every wrestling company try to be knocking down your door?
What do you know?
Exactly. I mean, everyone's knocking on your door. For years, he got requests to do interviews or autograph signings. He only does what he does. It's up to him. I will just say, I think he's finishing his story where he should have finished his story. And 100%. Not to go with a storyline. It is truly, you know, everyone's got this tagline of finishing a story. I think he need to finish the legacy that he started right then and there. So if that wraps it up, and yes, he did wrestle. We wrestled TNA together, our first pay-per-view together.
That's right.
Was at a TNA pay-per-view. So, but that's not the legacy that was carried on. Did he actually, was he thinking about it? Only he knows.
Yeah.
All right. Brandon, all wrestling before the Attitude Era is for dads, and it sucked. Wrestling only became good when the Attitude Era started.
It's your opinion. Enjoy wrestling, brother.
Enjoy wrestling.
Brother Cirillo, serious question.
I mean, I'm a dad, so it's like I can't even really, like,
those are the pay-per-views I go back and watch over and over again. So it says something about lasting the test of time.
I guess it's about if you like a story being told, if you buy into the good versus evil. I think the video game generation has a different take on the world. I mean, my wife is 10 years younger than me, and her view of the world is a completely different thing. It's not better or worse, and she doesn't call mine worse. So when you have this attitude that, like, it's for this or it's for that, then you're being a closed-minded moron. So it's 100%. Like, how do you even respond to that? It's like, I had a friend of mine's dad who referred to China still as Red China. And it's like, how am I going to argue that with somebody? Because to me, that's just saying, and it's not his fault or whatever it is, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's when people have those kind of strong opinions, I think it's great. You know, you should, you know, you're entitled to your own opinions, but you're not entitled to your own facts.
Well, speaking of hot takes, here's a good one, guys, that you're going to love. I could not wait to get this. This is the last email of the show. I saved this for you guys. This comes from Ray Pickerings. I always thought Eddie Guerrero was one of the greatest wrestling talents of all time. Top 10 easy. But recently, I found out he's never had a single 5-star match rated from Dave Meltzer. It's crazy to realize how wrong I was about him. Even the Young Bucks have a 5-star match, and they're utter shit. So what does that say about Eddie? Enjoy, guys. I thought you would have a blast with this one. Sit back. It's emails like this that bring me a smile, that make this sitting here with you guys worth it, that bring us together as a wrestling community. Enjoy.
Okay, so here's the thing. The only thing that I will give Meltzer is that he actually went to school for journalism. He's like the only one. So all of the other internet guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a few of them who consider themselves wrestling journalists. The 5-star match was, I believe, invented by Jim Cornette.
Yes.
If memory serves me correct. And I feel like this very, and it was even a smaller niche group of people who were this into it, let's say 25 years ago, right? There was message boards. There was these, Dave had his newsletter and, you know, these things. So what is now commonplace in a certain, I think there's a lot more smarter fans out there, right? Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
People, sure. I think following the newsletters and internet and Twitter and these things, this is all part of the fandom experience for some wrestling fans. I don't knock that. Because I was also one of those guys on message boards, although I might not have posted a bunch, maybe twice. I was there to read. And there was certain people who would say certain things that I respected because they were in line, their subjective take on a match or a personality or whatever was in line with my thinking. So that's where the cred, I gave them credit for. Does that make sense? So it was like a connection there. With Dave Meltzer, sort of like, although he does have this credential of being an actual journalist, quote unquote, most wrestling journalists, you can't really take seriously because I don't think that there's enough evidence to support their opinions because opinions are subjective. So if my best friend is in a really good band, I'm probably going to like that band more because he's in it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So yeah. I'm already going to have this bias. Mm-hmm. And like I've said before, the wrestlers who are my friends, and I say this open and honestly, there's a bias. I'm always going to like what they do, right? Because there's something beyond a connection. Now, let's just say Dave Meltzer has a deeper connection with the Young Bucks than an Eddie Guerrero. I would assume that Dave Meltzer would give them a five-star match because he knows them personally and he gets probably fed information by them. I mean, you know, I'm only speculating, but I would think that that's probably true. Just because I've been around this world for 52 years and I kind of know how certain things work. I mean, you know, our businesses are not very different. Okay. So, but when you start judging a person about a five-star match, like saying, well, that band sucked because they never had a platinum record, right? And it's like some of the greatest bands in the world that you've never heard of, you know, or maybe you have, like Motorhead or the Ramones or GBH or whoever it might be, I can't say that they have a lot of platinum records, but they still go down in the annals of history as these great influencers. Okay, like when you think about rock and roll and modern day rock and roll, modern day hard music as we know it, you have to credit Lemmy from Motorhead. But when Motorhead first came out, everybody voted them the most terrible band in the world. But then you fast forward 40 years later, and they're this iconic band that never got a five-star match. But what they did while they were here proves that they were at the top of their game. Right? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Is everybody following me here?
Still with you.
I'm with you.
Okay. So when you take one person's subjective opinion and then apply it to your own as fact, tells me that you haven't really opened your mind to really seeing what is actually done. And it's like I can look at a guitar player and I know like a Gary Holt from Slayer, Exodus, is probably one of the most phenomenal players in the entire world, or a Phil Demmel. These guys are next level, right? Have they gotten their flowers? No, I wouldn't say that they have. But I definitely agree, would think that in the annals of history, people will say those guys were the guys. I never look at somebody's judgment and then form my own opinion about that. That's just not the way I've been taught. Eddie Guerrero was one of the greatest wrestlers the world has ever seen. The Young Bucks doing what they do is very exciting. Entertaining. I feel like some of the stuff that when they were in TNA was awesome. Like it was cool. Some of this when they I went to a few PWG shows. I thought it was great. I thought it was a different take. But once you've seen it, it kind of wears off. Eddie Guerrero, I can watch any moment in the day and I'll be transfixed. It's like when a Motorhead song comes on the radio. I'm not going to change it. I'm already in it. The Young Bucks, and it's just my subjective personal opinion. Click. So, I'm not going to call this guy. Doesn't know what he's talking about or whatever, because that's just not fair. It's just a different generation.
Ace, I've got a point. If you're ready, you can jump in.
No, go ahead, Dev.
Along the same lines, just because Jethro Tull won a Grammy for hard rock band doesn't make him hard rock. All right.
Boom.
I mean, that's basic. I mean, it's exactly your point. And wrestling was different. You're talking about Eddie Guerrero, who started at literally the bottom on TV as a cruiserweight to becoming a WWE champion right before everybody's eyes. Go back and watch the way matches were, even in the early 90s to, you know, the way matches are today. It's you can't compare the two wrestling styles. It's just totally different, and it's not fair. And I think probably the parameters for a five-star match back then were way different than they are now, because, and I don't know, I didn't follow five-star matches or how they were based, but if in the early 2000s it was like Jim Cornette or whatnot, the way I would think would be a the way a match in the 80s or late 70s was put together would be the basis of what a five-star match in the early 2000s would be, if I'm correct or not.
I think he went with innovation. And yes, based off of what he saw and what was the status quo back then and how the business used to be and how matches evolved and what they thought about it. And from the way I heard him explain it between he and a friend, and I cannot think of who that was. It was also a way for when they put out some said type newsletter or whatever, someone in another region would get an idea of, oh, this is what I should take a look at, which is essentially what it is right now, except for the fact that there's such a cult following with all of this that they'll bring out the hatchets and the spears and the torches that they've got to just kill you because you don't share the same opinion. It's an opinion. The bottom line, it's an opinion, and it's one guy's opinion. And if you are fixated on that opinion, you don't have one of your own. My opinion is that if you damn everything before, and if you don't think it was that good, like, you're so skewed. You're so freaking skewed. You're telling me that these guys, that Kurt, again, this jumps into from Eddie Guerrero to Kurt Angle. So that ties into Eddie Guerrero, Kurt Angle for WrestleMania 20. That wasn't a five-star match. Okay, maybe the innovation in it, but they told a story throughout. Who comes up with the finish but Pat Patterson with the boot slipping off? That's amazing. You can't tell me that wasn't genius. No, I mean, I'm not ready to fight anyone over this. It's just laughable because it's an opinion. But it's opinion on a craft that isn't practiced by all. Your craft is way different. When you look at those guys, the Young Bucks, their craft is way different than what Eddie Guerrero did. He was a craftsman. They do a different style. Like you said, it's a different flavor. It's a different flavor.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say about it is no one has ever built a statue to a critic. And I would respect a wrestler or somebody who's been in the business to give a five-star match before I would be apt to believe somebody who's never stepped foot in a ring before.
I mean, that's the best way they ended.
I'm glad that. Yeah.
I'm glad I saved that email for last because that was the dessert on the top of a great ice cream cone. So guys, wrestlingperspective@gmail.com. Make sure you go leave your emails. Once a month, we'll go through and clear out the email bank and make sure we left a few on the table this week. But you know what? Next week or next month, we promise we'll get to those. We'll get to the new ones. We'll get to them all. Lars, what do you got coming up?
Nothing much. you know, I'm home, and you know, I'm going to be doing a few records with some bands, but other than that, like, I'm just getting rid of all my shit and you know, selling off some wrestling toys and just getting rid of the fodder. But you know what, let me ask you this.
And while you do that, Lars, where can people go if they want to buy some of your memorabilia that you throughout the years?
Well, you know, you can always follow me on the gram at Lars Fredrickson. And here's what you guys need to know. So look at this. Hold on. Hang on. When Dave Meltzer gets one of these, I'll be more apt to believe in his five-star match.
Boy, next week on his podcast, I really hope he pulls one out and be like, look what I just got, guys. Ace, what are you doing other than eating dinner right before we decide all to record?
We've got TNA in Orlando this weekend, two TV tapings. That'll be great. I've got a seminar, a workshop is what I call them, because we don't sit around and tell stories. We do some work, and our workshop will be coming up. There's Ruby Soho. I got a workshop coming up in Kansas City the weekend. I believe we're scheduling February 10th on a Saturday, and it's for experienced wrestlers. We're going more in-depth. If this is your first time doing roles and schoolboys, that's not what we're in for. I appreciate you. Please work on your craft, but we're going more in-depth to advance your wrestling skills. Mostly some of the things I've seen over the last few years with television wrestling, which is where everyone's trying to go. And that will be at the Kansas City Pro Wrestling Academy. And that is what I have going on at the moment.
All right. And lots of Canadian destroyers will be taught there too, right?
Oh, hundreds. Hundreds. Get checking with Petey right now how to exactly do it. But yeah.
I was just thinking, how many TNA guys, Abyss, Petey Williams, are working for up north now?
You a ton of them. You look at that tree, because I know Sanjay Dutt was up there, and he got a lot of those guys in there. He helped Petey get in there. He helped, I believe, Abyss, or did Abyss go before him? Either way, I mean, if you would have said, you know, in 2023, Petey Williams, like Sanjay had to come through. Abyss is one of the big agents. Jason Jordan is the head agent back there. I mean, you know, Kurt Angle's son. The guy landed on the feet. I would have been like, you know, considering how you became an agent back in the day and who the agents are now, it's kind of crazy. Molly Holly.
Wow. Yeah, it's a different world. I mean, Adam Pearce never, except for doing enhancement work, never stepped in a WWE ring, you know. But he's one of the, you know, he's a friend, but he's one of the top producers up there. Jason Jordan is a strictly WWE guy. It's definitely changed. Your Mike Rotundas, your Pat, you know, Pat back in the day was more of the Finnish guy, not so much of an agent, but a Jack Lanza, for instance. Like those type of guys. Yeah, I mean, the business changes and it's not a job that it's a different job than it was back then with those gentlemen. And that's not disparaging them in any way, shape, or form. It's different to say, go out and give me this. This is what they want. Let's help you with the finish. Now to get on a headset and call the moves and call the action and help be that person that brings the, you know, the vision to your television. Like, it's just a different world. So yeah, it's crazy though to think about that.
Well, let's wrap it up because I want to watch Dynamite.
All right, guys. The show's over. We'll say our goodbyes off the air. Lars says we're going home. See you guys later. Wrestling Perspective. Email at the bottom. Rate, subscribe, do all the podcast stuff. We're out.
What's that? How'd you get that?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.